Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. Today is Minister Kimberly Hovack's segment, and I know she's going to bring a powerful word of God. Before we get to that, though, there's a couple of things I want you to know. Next Sunday, or this coming Sunday, April the 21st, will be the House of Inspiration mix show with DJ Frankie Vive. It'll run from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And also, April the 27th is Y for C, and it's the anniversary of Shining Star and DJ Shaheem. It's their one-year anniversary, and I'm hoping that people can call in and congratulate them and show them a little love. The young people have been doing an outstanding job, and I would love for you to join us. April the 27th, 4 p.m., Y for C. Sunday, April the 21st, House for Inspiration Mix Show with DJ Frankie Vive. Let's get Minister Hovack on the line because I know it's going to be interesting. Minister Hovack, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am just fabulous. I'm doing great.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, while we're on air, I want to say again a happy birthday to you.
Oh,
you celebrated your birthday yesterday. Are you like me? Did you celebrate for a month?
Yeah. I've been celebrating.
Good.
Yeah. I've been celebrating. You know, I'm still celebrating, you know. And I want to thank everyone out there who sent me their greetings. I tried to answer everyone back, letting them know that it really touched my heart to get those greetings from them as well. I just love everybody.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you. You know, it seems like it's been forever since we had a show, and it's only been a month.
I know. I know. I say the same thing.
I am so excited to hear what God has been working with you about. So I'm going to give you the floor, my sister.
Well, let me just say this first. It's not my fault. I'm just going to get it out there, and I'm going to say that it's not my fault. And trust me, when I say things, when I speak things, I speak because, first of all, know that everything that I say, that God leads me to say it. But know that I've probably been through this,
amen.
And so and may even continually sometimes go through some of this stuff, because when you are teaching a lesson, you know, you can teach, you are anointed to teach that which you have overcome yourself.
Absolutely.
So I don't want people to feel that I'm trying to convict or cause anyone to fall into judgment. That's not what I'm doing at all. So I'm just putting that ahead of time. And the reason why is because I know this is going to mess with some people. It's going to step on some toes. And all we're trying to do is help you gain some freedom and get it right. That, I'm just going to start right there.
That's excellent, you know, and as we say, let the spirit flow, so let it go, girl, let it go.
Okay, so what we're going to be talking about in this hour is that we're going to talk about what does it mean to be a Christian.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. And there's just a few things I'm going to talk about, and then there's just a few things that we need to do or we need to not do anymore, like we really need to consider some of these things, all right? But I want to start off with what does it mean to be a Christian? And the reason why is because, I find it interesting that a lot of times when you hear or see that people have done something wrong, if they're a Christian, you also hear, and they're a Christian,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or they're mm-hmm. supposed to be a Christian. You never hear them say, oh, and they're a Buddhist.
Oh.
You know, they're peaceable people. Right? You never hear that about them.
No.
You hear they're a Muslim if it's only something bad, but you never hear about it if it's something peaceful. You know,
uh-huh.
whenever you hear uh-huh. of a person doing something bad and they're a Christian, that is one of the things that you first hear. Oh, and they're supposed to be a Christian.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
There's something, and we accept that. We as Christians, we accept that. So there's uh-huh. something about being a Christian that says that we should be inherently morally good. I'm just saying that's the belief, right?
Yes.
And I don't mind that so much. I think that we need to understand that we're human, and we'll deal with that a little bit later on. But I just want people to first, let's talk about, as Christians, what does it really inherently mean to be a Christian? So the first thing that I want to say is we first need to understand that as a Christian, one of the things that you must believe is that you must believe that God is real.
Absolutely.
You know, God is real. He's not some thing. He's not the wind. He's not some entity that is way afar off.
Mm-hmm.
God is everywhere. He is intimately involved in everything we do. He understands and knows what we're thinking and what we're feeling. God is real. Mm-hmm. God is the one that created all that there is. He puts everything in its proper place. He created the earth. He created the universe. He took a mess of a world and gave that chaos order and created a place for us to exist. We need to understand that he is real and that there are things that are going on in and around us in this world that we will never comprehend in ours or any other lifetime.
Right, right.
We need to understand he is real, and he is the ultimate power.
Mm-hmm.
He is the ultimate source of love.
Yes, yes.
Ultimate. You know, you can't get any more love than that.
No.
I always tell people, you can't outdo him. You can't outlove him. You can't outthink him. You can't out anything when it comes to God. God is real. So as a Christian, when you are living your life, live your life understanding that he's real. He's not someone that you deal with on Sunday. He's with you every day of the week. He's not someone you deal with when you get ready to eat and you say a prayer. He's not someone that you just deal with when you're in trouble. He's not someone that you just deal with when you need to say your prayers at night. He is there all of the time. Seeking continual relationship with you. He is real.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I want people to get that because we treat him like a treasure. You know, we treat him like he's our good china.
And we only take him out at certain times.
That's right. We take him out sometimes.
Yeah,
but God is to be with us in all of our moments. And let me tell you, good and bad moments, he's there.
Yeah.
When you're sinning and when you're not, he's there. You know, some people say God moves away from you. God is there.
No, we move away from him.
Absolutely.
We move away from him, yes.
Absolutely. He is real. The other thing, as a Christian, you must understand, the whole basis of our belief system as Christians is that Jesus is real.
Jesus was
a real person.
Yes, and he's alive.
Yes. he's not dead Jesus.
No.
He's very much alive.
Yes.
He walked the earth, you know, because there is a contingent of people that believe that, you know, what we're experiencing in Jesus now is just a spirit, you know, that it was a Jesus consciousness. No, Jesus was real. It may have been a God consciousness, but Jesus was a real living human being. That was proven.
That was
scientifically proven.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I'm not even going to go into that.
No.
If you want the proof on that, you can study it up. Scientifically proven, the man existed. He walked the earth. And, yes, he did the things that were in the Bible that they say he did.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. If you want to find out about things that occurred in the earth that are in the Bible that we say there's no possible way, go to science, because science will tell you, yes, it's true. You know, there are scientific programs. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, and Ethan, if you're not a strong believer in science, call on him.
Absolutely.
Call on him.
Absolutely.
He'll prove himself to you. He's going to show himself.
You know, it's funny. I had that conversation many years ago with someone because they were struggling with believing. And I said, well, just ask God to prove himself to you. And they said, well, how can I ask something that I'm not sure exists? Well, you have nothing to lose by asking.
No.
Because if he doesn't exist, he can't prove himself.
Exactly.
Right? So, and the thing I know about God is that he's going to prove himself in a way that will be specific to you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be exactly what you need. It may not be what the person next to you needs. It may not be what your friends need. It may not be what other folks need, but it will be exactly what you need in order to know that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be the simplest, smallest of things, but he'll prove to you. I know it because I asked him myself. He'll prove to you that he is real and that he is true.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Right? Amen. Amen.
So Jesus is real. All right. And the other thing that we need to believe and know and understand as Christians is that the Holy Spirit is real. Okay. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit grieves. The Holy Spirit has joy. The Holy Spirit has the emotions that we have. The Holy Spirit is our counselor and was promised to us by Jesus before he died. Go and read John. Go and read Acts. You will see that he was promised, and Jesus said, I'm leaving so that the Spirit might come.
Yes, yes.
And that the Spirit would bring us into all truth, and that the Spirit is the counselor.
Yes, and the comforter.
Okay. And the comforter, absolutely.
Yes, and we can go on and on and on.
And
you
on
know.
And on, yes we yes. can. Yes, we can. And here's what you have to understand, is that when Christ walked the earth, Christ walked with us. But there's a difference between walking with a group of people and being in a group of people, right?
Yes, it
Christ is in us now.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit lives in us.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is around us.
Mm-hmm. I know. So you're going.
People
you're
do
right
not understand that. And it's vital for people to understand. You have. It's like you have a lighthouse in your body that. You know, it's a beacon of light that can guide you from place to place. That's Jesus there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's why you're never alone, because he's in you.
Right. You know, at one time someone wanted to debate me about the characteristics of Jesus. He said, what does Jesus look like? And I told him to go look in the mirror.
Yeah,
because,
that's right.
Because
That's right. You know, it's funny because I was talking to someone, I think it was yesterday, it was recently, and they were talking about the, you know, how the History Channel had the Bible on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was saying that, you know, the character that played Jesus, you know, typical of what a lot of people look to for Jesus. And she said, you know, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what he looked like.
Right.
I know that's right.
Right.
I don't care what Jesus looked like.
I
don't even care. It doesn't matter to me if he was blonde hair, blue eyes. I don't care if he was black. I don't care if he was Chinese. I don't care what he looked like. I just know that he's my Savior. And I know that he died for me. And
Amen.
He died for all humankind. And that he made it right with God again for us. That's all I care about. And
that's
I accept that.
Yeah.
I don't care what the man looked like.
Okay.
You know, that's of no consequence to me.
And getting stuck on that physical. That's physical.
Yeah.
And we
need to get off of that.
Yeah, we're going to get to the spiritual part of our Christianity.
That's what it's based on.
Okay. Whew,
okay. So if you're going to believe that God is real, if you're going to believe that Jesus is real, if you're going to believe that the Holy Spirit is real, then here's the question that I have. If they are all real to you, then how should your life be affected? I just want people to sit with that question for a minute.
I'm thinking about that, too. I'm like, you really need to sit with that. Because
you really do. And I don't care who you are and where you are in your walk with him. You really need to sit with that for a minute.
And even in the Bible, when when Jesus was here, and they said, "Who are you?" He asked, "Who do you think I am?" So if you can't answer that question, then there's something missing in the connection that you have with the Trinity, the Holy Trinity that you just described, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Absolutely.
That's right. Right. If God is real, if Jesus is real, if the Holy Spirit is real, how should your life be affected? Let's talk about that for a minute. Okay. You know, we think about this comes to reality quite often when people are in crisis situation. I often see the question posed when we deal with funerals, because that's the moment that those talk about how, well, you know, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord, and if you're in Christ, you'll see your loved one again, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's great. That's great. It's comforting to know that if I'm in Christ and they were in Christ, we get to see each other again. Uh-huh. So there is something else going on with regard to how my life is going to be affected. At the end of my life, I have a place to go where I'm going to see people that I knew and loved in this waking earth.
Mm-hmm.
But what about between now and then?
Mm.
What about between now and then? The Bible tells us that Jesus came for a specific reason. He came that we might have life, and that we might have life more abundantly. Life. He wants us to live. Okay? Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to demolish the law.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? It meant that he came to be a ransom. He was the final fulfillment, the final thing that had to happen with regard to the law so that we could be free in God again.
Exactly. It was the last sacrifice.
Absolutely. So mm-hmm. when Adam and Eve first existed, they existed freely in God. So when you mm-hmm. look at the idea of what it was like to live the garden experience, you should get a clue as to what it should be like for us. They didn't worry.
Hello.
They didn't have worry. Hello. There were actually a lot of things that they didn't even have awareness of. They did not have a sin consciousness. They mm-hmm. did not have a sin awareness. They were not born into sin.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't even understand what it was. Evil, negativity, all those ugly things did not even occur to them, because they didn't have an awareness. It was as if they didn't even exist.
Right.
They existed, but not to them.
Right. There was a tree.
Not to them. They were innocent. Yes, they were innocent. Yes. And so they were taken care of and protected with God. And God was able to commune with them freely, commune with them, because there was nothing that was a hindrance between him and them. The only thing that hinders God from being freely in communication with us is sin.
Hmm.
I want people to get this.
Repeat that.
The only thing that hinders us from being freely able to communicate and be in relationship with God is sin.
Mm-hmm.
They had no awareness that sin even exists. They didn't know what evil or anything opposite of what God was.
Absolutely.
Until the trick of the enemy.
Right.
So you have to look at what that experience must have been like in order to get a glimpse of the life that we should be living now.
Right. And I
okay?
think it's important for people to also know the name of that tree, because that directly links to what you're saying. It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil that we ate off of.
Of good and evil. That's right.
And so
that's right.
That is the only reason we are conscious of anything that's going on around us at all. It's because we ate off the tree that gave
the tree
us
of
that
knowledge of good and evil.
And evil.
Right.
Yes.
And Satan knew that that's what it was that we needed
mm-hmm.
in order for him to gain control of the world.
Uh-huh.
He needed for us to admit that he existed.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, preach.
That's what he needed.
Yeah.
He needed us to admit that he existed. He needed us to admit that he had power.
Mm-hmm.
He needed us to admit that he might know more of the world than us. He needed us to admit that we were afraid of him.
Yes.
He needed us to submit to him.
Mm-hmm.
See, understand, Satan was an angel. He knew God.
Intimately.
He understood God's ways.
Yes.
Okay? In a way that we didn't have the ability to know and understand. So it was easy for him to manipulate, to connive.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan was an ever-living entity. So, you know what? He could wait.
Right.
Until the moment. He's not rushed. You know, he think about the way he does, the same way God does, he does. God teaches you precept by precept, and he's patient and waits on you, and so is Satan.
Yeah. You are telling the truth. You know, you
step
are telling the truth.
You know,
yes.
A little thing here and a little thing there and
yeah.
a little tweak here and a little tweak there. And
yeah.
then before you know it, you take that last step and you're all caught up in him.
Yes, you are. And by him using half truth, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's
like.
Because it sounds like the truth.
Yeah, it's like, uh-huh. But if you don't have the relationship.
And you know we're not going to go get our Bible to read
no.
anything. You know we're not going to go to God and ask him.
No, no. We're going to sit up there
and
say.
Because it sounds like the truth.
It sounds like the truth. That sounds kind of right. Kind of right, you know. Go ahead. This is a good topic. This is a much-needed topic.
Here's the other thing that I'm glad you brought that part up in the garden. Because here's the other thing that I want people to understand. Because we're going to be talking about this in a minute. The concept of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, we have talked in the past about how when Adam and Eve sinned, they were the ones that withdrew from God.
Right.
Okay? They withdrew. They're the ones who were hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And when they went to God and he says, he asked them, you know, what's going on with you? They said, oh, we were naked. We were hiding. Who told you you were naked? Who told you that?
Yeah, amen.
Why is it a problem that said you've been naked? Why is it a problem that you have, you know, now you have this awareness.
Right.
And nakedness, don't say, oh, it's evil. That's the reason why they were hiding. No, they had a knowledge of good versus evil. They had a knowledge of both.
Mm-hmm.
Nakedness just is.
It is what it is.
Okay. Here is what I want people to understand about the provision of God. What is the first thing that God did? He clothed them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Understand what he did. He moved them out of the garden to protect them.
Amen.
Because he understood that we had eaten from that knowledge of good and evil, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We took that on now. And now our spirit has shifted because it has that awareness. And he could not allow them to eat of the tree of life. While they were under the understanding of good and evil without the ransom having come.
Could you imagine?
Because, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Because
and we would,
had they eaten of the tree of life while they were in that condemned state, we would never have the opportunity for eternal life.
Never. Never. Hear us and hear Minister Hofack loudly. This is so important. This is the basis of our belief system.
That's right.
This is the
That's
basis
right.
of it.
It was not to punish them. It was so that we would have the opportunity to be saved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, he already had a plan in motion. He knew that he was going to send Jesus and that he was going to be our Savior. But he had, you know, God works. Although God is in eternity, on the earth he has to work in time.
You're right.
So there were things that had to take place before Jesus could come.
I'm with you.
He couldn't just make it right then.
No, no.
Jesus had to be born of man,
mm-hmm.
born of woman, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
He had to be born into the earth. And he had to live as a human being. And as a human being, he had to take back the keys of the kingdom.
Right. Amen. Amen.
He couldn't do it as a spirit, because if
yeah.
he could, God would have just done it then.
Mm-hmm. But we would have
But you have to remember, we have free will.
Right, right. And then we have to witness the things that he's done here on earth.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, if someone just came up to you and said Jesus is real and there was never any evidence of this, you know.
Right, right.
We would have... it wouldn't work. And God knew it wouldn't work. That's why he set up the system the way he did, to reconcile
Absolutely.
Us back to him and back to the Garden of Eden. You are hitting it right on the head.
Okay. So here's one of the things that you're saying, and you understand this. The first thing that you really need to do is that you need to study the Word in order to understand all the precepts of the faith. I want you to understand something about the laws. Let's talk about the Old Testament for a moment. You know, laws are just guidelines and principles that are meant to be followed. It doesn't matter whether it's a law now or a law in the Old Testament or whatever, all right? It's something that you were supposed to follow. But I want you to get this. The law of the Old Testament was never set up so that man could actually conquer it. That's the reason why they had all these offerings.
You are right.
We were born into sin.
Mm-hmm.
We were born into it.
Mm-hmm.
It is not possible without the saving grace of Jesus to stop sinning.
No. You're right.
You can't.
It's impossible.
And understand, it means that we have a sin consciousness, a sin awareness. And we have a tendency to continually be focused on what is negative and what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be trained to think otherwise.
Yes, we do. Yes, you do.
Being aware of what's wrong comes so easy to us.
When you know, I always use the example that when a two-year-old, not been on the earth very long, can look at you and lie, then that is evidence that we are
That's right.
into sin.
That's
Did
right.
Did you do that? No, I didn't do that.
Yes. Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah, yeah.
We're born into it. Yes.
Yes. It's,
That's
it's,
right.
It comes natural. It comes natural.
That's right. And right. And here's the other thing that God said to me that is so important, and I really want people to listen. I want people to get this. Because it's going to help people who are walking around and you're self-righteous and you don't know it, all right? It's going to help you because you need to come to God freely. God has to be able to operate through you. He has to be able to talk to you. He has to be able to get bare down and naked with you, and he can't if you are self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to me, please. When there are times that we as people don't sin on our own strength, okay? Not because God is doing it for us, but just because we're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much that we have conquered sin as much as it is that we were strong enough to hold it back. But there will come a point in time when your strength will give out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Here's what I want you to understand. Think about it this way. There are some people, they just have a thing. They don't lie. They just don't. That's not what they do. It bothers them. It's too much. It takes too much to lie. You got to remember too much.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You got to remember too much. You got to remember who you told what and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't want to bother with that, so they don't. They don't have an issue with that. That's not their vice. But that doesn't mean that they're walking in the freedom of the righteousness that God had in mind. Because even those people might get tripped up by those little white lies. How do you like my dress?
That's a good
How's
one.
My hair look today?
Yeah. Oh, it looks good. And then you walk
Doesn't
away.
Doesn't
it
just love it when we go over here? Doesn't it just love so-and-so?
Yeah, yeah. And then you walk
you
away
know?
And it's like, oh, that person is a hot mess. You know?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So when we become saved, when we become Christians, we have to learn how to walk in the light. And we have to learn how to accept that it is the Holy Spirit that is guiding us to the true way that we should be moving, breathing, walking, talking in the earth. And we begin to do things in him. That is what saves us from sin. Because what happens is, you stop being aware that thing exists. See, when you're doing something on your own and holding back, It's kind of like when you're on a diet and you're not eating that food you like, that chocolate, that ice cream, that fried chicken.
Right? Yeah,
when you're on a diet, you know it's there. You know it's there. And you're saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to lose 3 more pounds and then I can have that Snickers bar. I'm going to celebrate and have that Snickers bar. Oh, you know what? As soon as the month is over, I'm fasting. As soon as the month is over, I'm going to have that ice cream. Oh, you know what? As soon as I lose 5 more pounds, I can have that. That's doing it in your own strength. But, man, when you do it in the spirit of Christ, you don't even recognize that that thing is there anymore. You don't have a taste for it anymore. You don't have a desire for it anymore. It doesn't exist. It is dead to you.
It
can't tempt you. It's just not there. It's just not alive. The thought of going in that direction doesn't even occur to you. There is a difference. And that's when you're walking in freedom. When you are trying to restrain yourself, that's you doing it on your own. And God says, that's not what I meant for you. You're still in a prison. I want you to walk out freely and not even know that that thing exists. I want you to walk in me, exist in me. Let's talk about relationships for a minute, okay? Because there are some people who say, you know, all men are dogs. You know that people say that. All men are dogs.
Yeah.
All men are dogs and all men cheat.
Yeah, riff.
That's not true.
No.
It's not true. Because there are some people, male and female, who have allowed themselves to be so swallowed up by the light that the only person that they see in that way is their spouse. That's the only person they see. Every other person that they see is just the person that they see. But they don't have desires for someone else.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because Jesus has done a work in them. And therefore, he has brought them to freedom.
Amen.
Okay? All right? Amen. I'm going to help you out again. Let's talk about healing. Let's talk about healing. Okay? All right. We all know that as a man thinketh, so is he. Some people have certain diseases that operate through their families. And so you have this consciousness, this awareness. Oh, my gosh, so-and-so had cancer. I hope I don't get cancer. I hope I don't get cancer. I hope I don't get cancer. You know you're going to get cancer, right?
Right.
Because all you're doing is thinking about it. You're just thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. That's all you're doing.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Now, I want people to understand, there are some things that I really do believe, there's just natural things that happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that we consciously call into ourselves.
Right.
Okay?
And we
call things into ourselves.
We speak it. And life and death lies in your tongue. You could speak death over your life.
The book of Genesis tells us that we were made in his likeness, and God created everything with his words. And therefore, your words have power. And you have to understand that what you speak, it has life. Now, thank God, our words do not have the same kind of power as his.
Amen.
Okay?
But
they still have power. So if your mind is always focused on something, that's exactly what's going to happen. That very thing that you're thinking about. Even if you're saying, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it, you're still thinking about it, and it's coming right to your door. I want you to understand that. Christ wants you to be free. If you're free in a situation, that means you're not thinking about it.
Right.
It no longer is affecting you. If you really believe that you're going to wear that cloak of Jesus' healing, then you're not going to get up every day and say, I hope I don't get it. I hope I don't get it. I hope I don't get it. You're not going to do that. You're not even going to be aware it exists.
And I have to explain that, you know, in my situation, the people, they say, you don't look like you have anything wrong with me. That's because I don't get up every day acknowledging that there's something
That's
wrong.
Right.
Yes. I don't acknowledge. Like, okay.
You don't acknowledge it. And, and again, for those people who believe in science, doctors tell you all the time, patients heal faster based on their belief system. It's what they believe.
Yeah.
just think about when you've had a cold. There are times that you completely succumb to the cold. Oh, I'm just going to stay in bed. And you stay in bed and you get more and more sick and more and more sick and more and more sick. And then
yes.
you have some people that fight it tooth and nail. And you know what? They may get the cold, but not with the same intensity as the one who laid down.
Yeah. Get up and take your
right.
mat.
Right. I mean, really. You know, so and understand, I am not saying that people who get sick are not in Christ. That is not
no,
what I'm trying to
no.
say at all.
And we want to stop
That's
right there.
That's not what
and
I'm trying
let,
to say.
Let people know we are not saying that at all. At all.
No. No, we're not saying that. We're talking about the difference of being able to have, when you have a sin consciousness and when you don't.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm talking about. When you're walking in Christ, when and understand this too. I think this is important for people to understand. It is definitely true that you may have a sin awareness about five things, but you don't have it about five others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is the process of being saved. Right? There's a total salvation. There's a salvation that allows you to die and go to heaven and be in eternity. And then there's the salvation process that allows you to walk in the kingdom of God on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Now.
That's the process that I'm talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about now.
Right.
I'm talking
about right now, walking the kingdom of God, living the kingdom of God on earth. That is a process. Because you were born into sin. So you have to unlearn that kind of living, which is not easy because you're born into it. It's kind of like being born into a family and you decide you want to divorce that family.
Yes, and they're your family.
And you know what? And no matter how far away you move, sometimes Cousin Buck finds you.
Yes, exactly. Cousin Buck.
Comes and finds you, you know? So,
you
appears on the doorstep of the castle.
All right.
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Everybody knows what you're talking about.
This is what I'm saying. So
yes.
It's a process, right? That's why God teaches us precept by precept. So there are some things that you will overcome, and you will walk in Christ, and you just will not have a temptation. You will, because you will not. That thing will not be alive in your mind.
No.
Okay. But then there are some things that are still alive in your mind. So you're still just going through a process.
Uh-huh.
Do yourself
uh-huh.
a favor. You know, you don't have to die over it.
No. You have to surrender.
You know, like, seriously, cut yourself a break.
Yeah, you have to surrender yourself. And that's the hardest thing to do because you're not in control anymore.
No.
And
you're
when
definitely not.
When you surrender yourself to Christ, then you accept what he guides you and teaches you and shows you, and you just take it as the truth, and you don't question, and you just keep living, and before you know it, you are unshackled.
Correct.
Not
Correct.
Saying free, but unshackled is a difference.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So here's where do I want to go now?
I don't know.
All right,
you're all over the place.
So let's just go to the next thing, okay?
Okay.
So if we're in Christ, all right, we are a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new, all right? Now, here is what this is saying. Everything about you shifts once you become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you have a power and you have an ability that you did not have before. If you are not a Christian, it is not possible for you to walk in Christ because you have to accept him to do so. I want you to hear what I'm saying.
Yes.
I am not saying that it is impossible for a non-Christian not to sin. I'm saying that it is impossible for them to walk in Christ. So therefore, yes, they can not sin, but they will never have the ease that we can have in doing it, because they will always do it in their own strength. Because they have not accepted the help that is there.
And the forgiveness of the sin. Because
absolutely,
once it's forgiven, he said, I do not remember your past transgression.
I don't remember it.
But we do. That's the problem.
Sure we do. That's the problem.
That's the problem. It's like,
you know, God has been teaching me lessons every day. And he taught me something recently that I want to share.
Okay.
And I want people to listen to this because this is powerful. It kind of blew my mind. He said, guilt is a worthless emotion. He said that he wants people to understand that. It's worthless to him because it doesn't push people to come to him freely.
No.
It pushes them to come to him in condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
But when people don't feel guilty anymore, so goes the whole purpose of them going to him to begin with.
Right.
So now they're oftentimes no longer in him, because they only went there because they felt bad.
You're going into a deep subject here.
I want everyone to hear this.
Open your spiritual ear.
Because this is going to be difficult for people to take, but you know what? There are people out there that can take it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we need to stop eating baby food.
You know, the time for elementary teaching of this stuff is over. We need maturity. We need to grow up in Christ. In Christ. I am Christ.
That's right.
Okay. So, David, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. So, he says, guilt does not promote healing. It does not promote goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
What guilt does is that it aids fear, it aids retaliation,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't push people to do God's will in most cases. It actually pushes people away from him.
Mm-hmm. Because they're ashamed.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, guilt will make people aware that they have sinned, but what God said to me was, but they already knew that they did.
And guess
they,
what?
They didn't need guilt to tell them that.
And God knew that you did it before you even thought it.
That's right. Now he said, now the Holy Spirit will convict you. He said, but the Holy Spirit convicts you simply means that it confirms that what you did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you already know it.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit is just like, yep, that's wrong.
Yep.
And there's no feeling in that. It's just it's either right or it's wrong. Guilt gives you that nasty, heavy, ugly feeling. And that comes from the sin consciousness.
Puts you in bondage.
Absolutely. Okay? It doesn't, it's something that is worthless to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is what he said to me, because I was struggling with the concept. And he said to me, Kim, if guilt was a worthy emotion, then why wouldn't the Holy Spirit feel guilty?
Mm. Bomb.
I couldn't argue with it.
No.
I couldn't argue with it, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit grieves.
Uh-huh.
We don't like grieving.
Uh-huh.
But the Holy Spirit grieves, so there must be something good in the process.
Right.
But he said, no, the Holy Spirit doesn't feel guilt. And don't tell me that it's because the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything wrong and you do. If it was something that was good, I would allow the Holy Spirit to feel it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it goes back to fear. Guilt is fear. Fear of being exposed, fear of being caught, fear of And God did not give us a spirit of fear. So
the spirit
how,
of fear. He did not.
How can we have something that's not God-given? Well, it comes from someone else.
Right.
Satan.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Break
so
it
now.
Down.
So now, if we're in Christ, we're a new creation, right?
Right.
So that means that you have to know who you are. But the only way to learn who you are is to stop being who you were.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that needs to be a past tense. It needs to be who you were.
Yeah.
You can't keep being the same person.
No.
If you want to, it just doesn't make sense.
No,
look,
it doesn't.
You can't say that you want to change. You can't say that you want to live a different life. You can't ever say that you want to do something different if you're going to keep on doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to do something different if you keep doing the same thing.
Right.
That's you know, come on, people. Right. So walking in Christianity, it is a work. We're all works in process. It is a work.
Under construction. We're all under construction.
And we're all under construction.
And I think one thing that happens between Christians is that they think they have arrived at times and others have not.
Oh, please. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, no, we're on the same train, sweetie. I just might be sitting a couple of seats back from you, but none of us have arrived until Christ comes back.
Right.
Oof. Okay.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay.
If we're
all a work in progress,
mm-hmm.
here's something that all Christians need to deal with. This is not going to be easy. We must stop judging people. We must stop putting people into condemnation. We must stop putting people into guilt. And we must start loving people and encouraging them in their relationship with God.
Yes.
We must understand that love is a power. It is a spirit. And it never fails.
Right.
You can love someone to righteousness,
mm-hmm.
but you can't guilt someone there.
Right.
You can't fear them there. You can't judge them there.
It reminds me of like sometimes when you haven't gone to service at a certain church in a long time and you go and the pastor's all of a sudden starts preaching about, you know, people who don't come to church. And so we just
right.
see you. So they see you. That's happened to me several times, you know, and it's like, wait a minute.
The other thing too, right, you ever have the experience of, you know, like you haven't been to church in a while and they suddenly behave as if you've never been to church since you went there last, or mm-hmm. either that you haven't talked to God since the last time you were in their church?
Right.
It's like, really? So because I didn't come here, I haven't been anywhere. And because
right.
I haven't been here, I haven't been talking to God. God and I aren't cool like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That makes me start wondering if that's because that's the way they are.
Exactly.
Because why would you think that?
Right. Well, yeah.
that's
the point. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. We are so on key, because the next thing I was going to talk about was the silly things that we do that are judgmental. And that definitely is one of them. You
mm-hmm.
know, we assume that people haven't been in church and they're, you know, it's like, look, just because they haven't been there, you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what they've been doing or what they haven't been doing or how God has been dealing with them or not dealing with them. And you know what? It's not for you to know. If it was for you to know, God would tell you.
Yeah.
And if you think that someone is in a bad way, pray for them.
Pray. That's it. Stop. Pray for them.
Pray.
Don't scorn them.
Here's something else that we do in churches that I think is crazy.
What?
You know, like, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, why do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
We take the people who are the newbies, the so-called new people in church, the people that we don't really know a whole lot about, and, you know, they know a little bit of something. We might even think that they're called to something. Why do we automatically put them to teach the children? Isn't that the most backward thing that you could do? You know, you put the young preacher that you think maybe, you know, in our minds, you don't know as much, so we're going to let you teach the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are the hardest ones to teach.
Yeah.
Because the kids ask all the questions.
Exactly. When you go to
by
Bible.
By the time we became adults, we just became dumb. We just wanted to be led. We didn't want to ask any questions.
Oh, no.
You know, we're not trying to ruffle any feathers.
No.
Kids ain't trying to hear that. Kids are going to ask you all kinds of questions. You know, I don't understand that. I mean, can you explain that? This doesn't make sense to me. Well, then how come this and that?
Yeah.
Why you
Why?
Put the newbie there?
Yeah, yeah. Which sets them up for failure.
Right. Don't put them there. And then you leave them there until you feel they're ready for the graduation.
And there
That's
you go.
That's the graduation. That's the reason why. Again, we don't think like God. That's the reason why people will come straight out of teaching the kids and pastoring churches. Because they know more.
Right.
You have to study more.
Yes.
And you have to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Kids can see right through you.
Yeah. Kids can see very much right through you. And
but it seems like the older we get, the dumber we get, and we don't even try to use our gifts. Discernment. Why do I want that?
Oh my goodness! You know, okay, you got me on that one. Exactly, discernment.
Right.
Here's
another thing that we do, and a lot of people are not going to like that I say this, but I want you to just ride with me on this for a minute. Hear my whole train of thought on this, okay? Because, again, this didn't come from me. This came from God. This came from my study with God. And he says, why is it that we tell people that they can't use their gifts because they aren't right?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Your life ain't right.
Right.
You're doing this wrong and you're doing that wrong. Let me just say this. Let me just put this out there. If most of us knew what the pastor was doing only the night before last, we wouldn't let him get up and preach.
You know,
and I don't say this to be disrespectful.
No, I'm just saying
people, you got to understand that people are people. Like, really? So are you going to tell me that you think that every pastor in America, I'm not even going across the world,
okay,
every pastor in America that gets up on Sunday has no sin in his life, his life is all straight, his kids aren't jacked up, his marriage is perfect, he's not caught up in sin, he hasn't been cursing, everything is right in his life, that is what's going on with every pastor? Then why are we not running to be pastors if it's going to straighten out our lives?
That is not true. Actually had, this is a true story. When I started this ministry online, and I'm considered the presiding minister, the pastor of this, and someone came to me and said, well, if people are online and you don't see them, how do you know they're doing what they're supposed to do? And I said, your pastor doesn't know what you do when you leave on Sunday. He has no clue.
Oh my goodness!
Of what
did they
do.
Really say that to you?
Yes, they did. They really said.
We're not supposed to be controlling people. That's witchcraft.
Yes, it is. Exactly. It's like our role as a pastor or a minister is to provide information. We study and we then testify. We testify from within. Things that we go through, I said, if your pastor's not going through anything, you really shouldn't be listening to him.
No. How can he relate to you? If your pastor can't understand the challenges that you are going through, how is it possible that he's going to have the compassion that he needs to be able to have the insight that he needs to have in order to teach you? Because people who get caught up in righteousness are caught up in the sin nature. Mm-hmm. And when you feel that you are living your life oh so perfectly, oh so right, then you are caught up in righteousness, and therefore you're going to have issues dealing with people when they're falling. And let me tell you, a lot of people just live on the ground.
You're so right. You're so right.
But that's the truth.
They live there.
I'm trying to free people.
Yeah. And
let me tell you something. I'm a very free person. I do not mind letting people know that I'm broken in some places, but it's because I'm broken that I can have compassion. It is because I'm broken that I'm yielded to God. It is because I'm broken that he can take me and he can fill me up and he can give me a message to free his people, because I don't believe that I know it all. I believe that I get it from him. It's because I'm broken that I can sit here and I can talk to you and I can tell you what thus saith the Lord. I can tell you in the spirit because I'm broken.
Right.
I'm broken.
I need you.
And that's
Jesus.
Exactly where he needs me to be.
Yes.
He needs me to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
That's what keeps me yielded to him. Christ was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of my yielding to him and in all of his molding and trying to build me up and get me straight, I will still always be broken.
You know, always.
I'll get better in some ways, and I'll get stronger in some ways, and I'll grow more and more anointed in some ways, but I will still always be human and always be broken.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
It's okay, because
it's okay.
He uses me because I allow him to use me.
Right.
Give me someone who has been broken to teach me, and I can really, really just, I can eat what they have. Because they understand that it is not about them, but it's because Christ is so good, because God is so good, because the Holy Spirit is so good, because they are so faithful that they can teach us, even though they have been this or they have been that, or they've been here and they've done this and they've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Yet God uses us.
Yes, he still uses us. Who made you judge and jury of who God can use and who he can't? That's
yes.
a very dangerous area for people to
it
be
in. It is very, very dangerous, very, very dangerous.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And I'd like to leave everyone with just this one last word. You know, the last thing that I'm going to leave you with regard to what it is to be a Christian. Don't be a person that chases the anointing. Be anointed. You don't need
that.
To chase it. Just be it.
Yeah, just be it.
So many of you have been called to things, and you're waiting for a man to recognize it. You know what? They're not going to recognize it while you're sitting on a pew. They're not going to recognize that gift because you're ushering, because you're singing, because you're on the pastor's aid. You need to be active in doing what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about what church you're going to do in it. Just do it, because
do it.
God called you to it. And the reality is that the world will make room for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of people in churches, but so many people that are unchurched.
That's a good one. Yeah, it is.
There's so many churches and mega churches and all that kind of stuff, but, I mean, even more people that are unchurched. We talk about churches that have 5,000 members and 10,000 members and 20,000 members. Well, so what? There's millions of people that are unchurched.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the Spirit has brought me to read from Hebrews 6th chapter. And if you watch my sermon, we actually touched on the same thing. Ain't that kind of fun how God works like that?
I love it.
I love it. Hebrews 6:10. Okay, and I'm reading from the NIV version. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, that laying again the foundation of redemption from acts that lead to death, is of faith in God. Instructions about baptism and laying of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to lose the to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. And I hope everyone understood what I just said. But it's Hebrews 6, chapter 1st verse to the 6th verse, 1 through 6. And what it's saying is, I'm still here.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know how much people heard of that, but I want people to read Hebrews 6, chapter 1 through 6.
We heard the whole verse.
Okay, good. Because mm-hmm. that is exactly what you're talking about. It is possible
Absolutely.
For people who have tasted all of this to fall away. And when we do that,
yeah.
and we don't let Christ work through us, we're crucifying him over and over and over again.
Yes.
You know, be of good works, but let him work in you. Go ahead. You got something else? Give me some more. You got me on fire over here.
You know how God does with us.
Yes, that was so needed because we just have to stop being babes in Christ, period.
Yes.
At one point, you got to grow up. You can't be a 70-year-old person running around listening to hip-hop music with your pants sagging. You know, you can't. You have to eventually grow up and mature. And until
right.
we start accepting teachings like this, then we can't mature. If you
That's
don't
right.
understand something, contact Minister Hovac. If you can't get her or don't feel comfortable, contact Christ.
That's right.
And let him tell you what the anointing that was given to her and what was said is in the spirit
right.
or out of the spirit. And there's a litmus test. If it brings you joy, you're in the spirit. Bam.
That's right.
And I got really happy with your sermon. Thank you very much.
Praise God. Praise God.
Oh, my God. And the disclaimer is there. You know, we're rustling some feathers, but that's what you have to do. That's
but it's
what
okay.
you have to, it's okay.
Right.
It'll
okay.
be all right. It'll be all right. And that's what I tell people. Girl, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. But if we don't have people like Minister Hovac or the Bible study by Elder Faye or life sermons or other people are out there who are, you know, because we're not the only ones. We're not saying that. But people who are challenging your conventional thinking, that is what
That's
we're
right.
trying to do. That's all we're
yeah.
trying to do. You know,
That's
not
right.
a sin.
In order to push them deeper into their relationship.
Absolutely. Amen. Minister Hovac. Woo! Girl, wow.
Look, I'm going to sleep now.
I know you are. God did a mighty work in you, absolutely mighty work in you. And I thank you for blessing us. Again, anyone who's out there who doesn't quite understand the concepts of what was said tonight, tell them how to contact you, Minister Hovak.
You can reach me at my website is www.KimberlyHorvath.com. You can go to the ministry website, it's SisterPucci.com. You can contact me there. And also, I'm on Facebook. You can contact me at Kimberly Cooper Horvath on Facebook.
Okay. And all that is also listed under the Minister Hovak tab at the ministry's website and with her contact information and her past lessons as well. I want to thank you very much for the word that you brought today. It's amazing how God works with us. And when I say us, I mean the whole ministry. Because if you go to Bible study, you're going to hear the same thing. If you listen to the sermon, you're going to hear the same thing. And here you come with the same message. I'm like, look at that.
Look, we have one God, and He's speaking one word, you know?
And we don't talk or plan. I'm telling you guys, we don't plan this. This is not of us. This is only of the Spirit that moves through us.
That's right.
And by the Spirit that we give us. I thank you and bless you, and I want to, before we go, together touch and agree for those who were injured or affected by the Boston bombing. At the marathon, together let's touch and agree that God will come down. The Holy Spirit will be a great comforter to those who are in need, and we will be praying for the families that were affected.
Yes, we will.
Okay. Well, Minister Hovak, until next month, may God keep you and bless you.
Until next month.
Okay.
Thanks to you.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
Woo! Yes, a fire. She was on fire tonight, y'all. Everybody, listen. Would open all your ears. Listen up and hear and know. Okay, we're going to roll on right into the dance break with DJ Frankie Vibe. He's our resident DJ. If you want, he also has a House of Inspiration show where he mixes for an hour. That will be this Sunday, April the 21st. At 4 p.m. at www.sisterpucci.com. That's spelled SisterPoocie. And here we go with DJ Frankie Vibe, the dance break for the mix. I'm going to go back a little bit, do a little old school.
Sometimes when I feel like I'm alone, I know I'm not alone. Lord, I need you in my life right now.
You're listening to the DJ Frankie Vibe Gospel House Freak. Checking out DJ Frankie Vibes Gospel House Break.
All right, that was DJ Frankie Vibes with the Gospel House Mix for the week. Again, I encourage you to tell everyone to listen to this broadcast, that Minister Hovak, the word that she brought was so powerful, so anointed, and so on point that I just encourage you to spread it. We're here to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're here to make sure that people know the truth, and that's what he has asked us to do. And so please extend that link to as many people as you will. Don't forget, Sunday, April the 21st, at 4 p.m., it's the House of Inspiration show with DJ Frankie Vibe. He's going to be mixing for a whole hour. We like just give you a little example. And April the 27th is Y4C and the Shining Star and DJ Shaheem's anniversary. And I want everyone to call in and wish them the best of the best of the best. The young people have been just getting it out of the ballpark, and they've been on point, and they've grown so much. The call-in number is 347-838-9457. That's 347-838-9457. Okay, everybody, I want to play a little something just before we go, it's called Tell Me How by Danielle Wolf. That was just a little something for you to listen to and meditate on. Now I'm going to say goodbye until Sunday, everyone. Peace, blessings. And we're going to roll out of here like we always roll out with How Great Thou Art.